Welcome back to the Anti-Diet Club podcast. Thank you for being here once again. We are coming to you today with a rather poorly co-host, Tamsin. So you'll notice today that I do most of the speaking, which is, you know, I'm happy with. I love to talk. But Tamsin's feeling a bit under the weather with COVID today. So you will be hearing a little bit less from her. We have just had the absolute pleasure of speaking to yet another really formidable guest, Ebony, who is a plus size, fabulous, what would she call herself? A big baddie. And we came across her on social media.
Big baddie besties, she calls her.
Big baddie besties. That's it. Do you think we are now two of her big baddie besties?
I hope so, because she was just so lovely to talk to. And I couldn't help myself but jump in even with my horrible COVID voice, because I had been looking forward to this interview for such a long time, ever since I saw her TikTok, right?
Yeah, it was you that came across her, right, on TikTok?
Yeah, I sent you the TikTok. I was like, literally paused in my tracks, like, you have to see this TikTok, and we have to talk to this woman, because she's creating something that we keep talking about.
Yeah, that's right. I know we do. Why aren't we doing it? Is it because we're running businesses and doing a podcast? But
it's... Yeah, but we talk about community, don't we? And she's creating her Big Girls Who is the community that she's creating. She's creating meetups for plus size women who want to just go out there in the world and do things like brunch and clubbing and all sorts of stuff. It's probably talking because she's obviously got more, she's more fun. We don't do anything, we sit at home.
Yeah, she's in London, she's really fun. Yeah. She talks during this interview about dating and clubbing and fashion and all those fun things that we don't do. So
fashion. I have my Christmas jumper on today, I'll have you know. I do fashion. No, I don't
do fashion.
I do Christmas jumpers. You're gonna get annoyed with my Christmas jumpers over these next few episodes.
You do. So definitely, if you want a little intro of Ebony before we head over to the conversation, please check out her TikTok. We will put the link in the show notes. She's so much fun. We really wanted to try and speak to not just the struggles that fat people experience, right? We talk a lot about discrimination, stigma and whatnot on this podcast, but there is also so much joy to be had. And sometimes when we're in friends groups, or our families that maybe aren't in a bigger body, and or maybe they are and they're talking about shrinking and dieting and, you know, working out at the gym and all that kind of thing. And we really want to just be around people who feel comfortable in their bigger bodies, right? Who want to go out and buy clothes and talk about clothes and makeup and hair and food and cinema. And she was talking about roller skating and, you know, all of this fun stuff, but doing it with people who maybe feel the same way, that like, can I do that in a bigger body? And when you're affirmed by other people in, you know, a similar size body or that hold a similar identity to you, there's nothing like it. There's nothing quite like it.
Yeah. Part of me is just really sad that I don't live near her, because I think, you know, these meetups are exactly what we often talk about, that, you know, needing that space just to be able to hang out with people who are just living and just, you know, not feeling ashamed in their body. Like, it does make such a difference.
Yeah. And can hopefully swap some really great tips about where to buy clothes from, you know,
and
where
safe
shoes
to
from,
go clubbing and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we talked about that too. So yeah,
that's right. Like, especially you know, holding multiple marginalized identities, it's hard to, you know, what I really heard from Ebony was it was hard to navigate where are safe spaces in the dating scene, in the clubbing scene, you know, where we have to protect ourselves. So anyway, with all that said, let's get on to the conversation.
Yeah, cool.
Welcome to the Anti-Diet Club podcast. Tamsin and I are super excited to have our guest here today. We are joined by Ebony. And if any of you are worried today thinking that where's Tamsin, she is here, but she has COVID, so she might not be speaking very much. But we're hoping our lovely guest Ebony is going to take up most of the space in this conversation today. So welcome Ebony to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here and record with you both. Yeah. And hopefully Tamsin doesn't have to do a lot of talking so she can just recover in peace.
Yeah.
It's going to be really hard for me to stay quiet. Let's just put that out there. I like to talk.
I know. She said I probably won't say much today. And inside I'm thinking, we'll see. So Ebony, you... so wonderfully came into our world, my world, Tamsin's world, through your TikTok. And I'm not on TikTok, and but now because of you, I am on TikTok, because Tamsin sent me your videos. So then I, of course, lost a day of my life to TikTok, mainly going through your profile. But you recorded a video that you posted on TikTok, and I believe it went really quite viral. And it was a call out, right? It was a call to action of like, where are my plus size people? Could you speak a bit more to that and what kind of like what you were feeling and what instigated that video?
So my cousin was getting married, and she asked for a specific, she said, no one has to wear the same thing, we just need something in forest green. So that's such a specific color.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, let me out, I'll just have a Google, let's see. So I saw that Pretty Little Thing had a dress in forest green. I have my wars with Pretty Little Thing, mm-hmm. because sizing is never correct and it drives me crazy. So immediately I knew I couldn't just order my size, I would have to order a range. So I literally ordered 20, 22, 24, 26, 28, and 30. Because this is how sure I was this was not going to fit me. Mm-hmm. The parcel came and I tried on 20. It didn't fit me, drastically didn't fit me. So I started to feel a bit bad, but it was like, you know what? I know my size where I usually shop. So it's fine. Just keep trying until you find one that fits you, because I had like 2 weeks before the wedding. 22 didn't fit me, 24 didn't fit me, 26 didn't fit me, and by this time I was just over it. The 28 fit me, and it was okay, but it didn't look like how I would have wanted to look on the day, especially as a bridesmaid. And then I tried on 30 just to try it on, and it was like super baggy in certain points, but it fit in certain points. So I was like, and this is what I have to deal with, mm-hmm. when I branch out of the few brands that actually have it correct. And I was just so annoyed. And the thing is, in my friendship group, I'm the biggest one. And sometimes I go to them and I say my frustrations, but as your friends, they're just going to be like, no, it's fine. Like, it happens. And
you're great.
Yeah. Like, sure, it was just that dress. And it's like, it's not just that dress.
No.
And it was just so frustrating. So I was just like, you know what? Let me just put a video. I didn't think that the video was going to do, because TikTok shadow banned me often. My followers don't even see my videos usually. So. Yeah. I was like, let me just put a video out. And I originally put my personal Instagram, because I was like, no one's going to see it. So if I meet three new big besties, that would be good for me.
Yeah.
And then it just started to go, the video started to go crazy. And I was like, oh my gosh, so many people are seeing it. And then I was like, but on my personal Instagram, because mm-hmm. I want to post things and post the baddies, sorry, I'm telling everyone baddies, because you know, I think that there should be kind of like our own space. So I said, okay, my personal Instagram's not it, because most of the time I'm just so stupid on there, and it's just not. So I said, okay, let me make a specific Instagram and go from there. And it just mm-hmm. was building and building and building, and I was like, oh my gosh. And what was so sad, it was like a catch 22 in a sense where it was so sad that so many people had the same story, but at the same time it kind of was nice and comforting for me because I knew I wasn't the only one. You already mm-hmm. know you're not the only one, mm-hmm. but just to see so many people say the same thing and feel the same way, and I'm the only plus size girl in this group and nothing ever fits me and I have no plus size friends to go out with, and
yeah,
it's like it's not unique stories, but we just needed to find each other to understand yeah. we're literally not the only people in the world that are big and miserable sometimes and fed yeah. up sometimes
and frustrated with the world sometimes yeah. right, and what it offers plus size people. And it when I watched it, so for anybody who's listening to this, please go onto Ebony's TikTok and have a look at it. We'll put a link in the show notes. But really, it was calling out, like, where are my plus size people that I can speak about clothing? I can speak about, you know, I can go out clubbing with, I can go out for dinner with, I can do all this stuff. Like, where are these people? And it really was a call to, like, if you can't, Tamsin and I say this all the time, if you don't have that community around you, mm-hmm. Then what I'm hearing from you is, like, build it, right? You're trying to build it because you haven't just naturally fallen into that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and you call them plus size baddies, right? Is that, do I have that right?
So I call them big baddie besties.
That's right, that's it.
So I love it. And also I didn't want to, although it's predominantly women, I understand that people don't identify as she, her, they have, so I didn't want it to be anything that was one gendered. So yeah. Big Maddie Besties is for everyone. So I thought that was it. Even though the name of is Big Girls Who.
That's right.
It is Big Girls Who, because that's just literally what was in my call out. I just want big girls who do this and who do that and who do this. But
yeah, that's what I loved about it. I think that's what, well, first of all, it stopped me in my tracks, because when you watch the video, you're just like, if you're not plus size, keep it scrolling. And I was like, well, I can stay here. This is cool. What's going to happen here? I wouldn't need to know what's going to happen here. And it's just where you were talking about was, you know, doing things that really speak about, like, joy, like, yeah. you know, really, like, yeah. you know, big girls who brunch, big girls who go out and dance. And it was like, yes, like, that's because all those things you want to do, no matter what size body you're in, like, you don't, you know, and often that's kind of, it's assumed that none of those things matter, and they do matter, like fashion and, you know, makeup and hair and clothing and all that stuff. It's important. That's what, like, made me stop, and just, it was just such a joyful video.
Yeah, I think I'm aware on this podcast sometimes, because we talk a lot about body diversity and fat bodies, plus size bodies, all different kinds of bodies, that I often worry we talk too much about the shitty side of it. Right, there is a shitty side of it. The world isn't built for bigger bodies. Clothing companies aren't interested in accommodating bigger bodies. There's so much stigma and discrimination and judgment out there that we internalize. However, having said that, there is also so much fat joy as well, right? There is so much joy to be had. And I see that comes across when I see you on Instagram and you're talking about your meetups and all the stuff that you want to do. And I just wondered if you could maybe speak a bit to that in terms of you're really into fashion and you're really into hair and all that kind of thing. What meetups have you done, and what do you want to do? What are you hoping to achieve with them?
So it was actually a dig, because I went through a TikTok dive and I saw a video, and I really wish I can never remember her name, but I think she was a big girl, and she was like, oh, I just went roller skating. I'm sure it was roller skating or maybe skateboarding. And the comments was like, fat girls can't roller skate. And oh yeah, all you can do is drop. You're just going to keep dropping. Da, 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 da. And what literally last 2 years ago during COVID, when we had like a permitted outside time, I really tried to learn to skate, and someone was really horrible to me about it, and I just stopped doing it. And I think with Big Girls Who, I just wanted it to be something where we can do everything. There's nothing that we can't do. It's not that we don't want to do these things either. So it's just mm-hmm. important that I really just want to do everything with this group. And so far we've just met for a coffee, and we're actually meeting tomorrow just mm-hmm. to go to Spittlesfield Market. Because it's just everyday things. It's like just a trips out mm-hmm. with big people around you, and you yeah. don't feel like the odd one out. And I can go to a food market and eat and be comfortable in my space and not feel judged.
Yeah.
But I want to do so much. I want to do everything. I want to do empowerment. Well, I come from a workshop background, so I want to mm-hmm. do empowerment workshops, and I want to do fashion runways, and I want to do just everyday things, bowling trips,
yeah,
cinema trips. I don't think there's anything that I don't want to do.
That's with amazing.
The group, and I'm hoping that there will always be someone in the group that also wants to do these things too.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you are hopefully coming up to Glasgow, right? So I want to join that group for sure. So what I'm interested in is, you're at this place now that sounds like you're really wanting to celebrate your body and everything that it can do and the people that it can do it with. Have you always felt sort of confident, maybe not even confident, but have you always felt sort of accepting of the body that you're in, or have you undergone any kind of journey or process in terms of trying to move away from diet culture and trying to move away from this constant pursuit of trying to slim down or tone up or any of this kind of like diet culture stuff? And of course, we're not completely immune to diet culture, right? There are always times when we feel a bit insecure, and that's maybe when we want to be around people in bigger bodies to feel affirmed and to feel validated, right? But what's your story been? How have you got to the place that you are now, where you're creating this community around the celebration of bigger bodies?
Oh gosh, okay, so I feel like I've been scarred about my body since forever, almost. Like, I was a flower girl for my dad's wedding. I must have been about 10. And we had a fit in with the dresses, and it fit me. The next couple of weeks later, I think it was about 3 weeks later, that went to do the fitting again. This was like a week before the wedding, and the dress was a little bit tight. And my dad was like, "For fuck's sake, it's all that shit that your mum's feeding you, da 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 da." So that was my first kind of experience of feeling like, oh, am I not a normal size, or is this not what you're supposed to do? And my sister, my half-sister, she was also a flower girl. She's much slimmer than me. And then I noticed that she was getting praised more on the day for how she looked, and she looked so beautiful. And that was my first experience. I don't think I experienced it before then. And that's when I started to think, oh, am I not, what have I done wrong? Like, have I been eating rubbish? I'm just eating whatever my mom's given me. So from then, I've started to be very conscious of what I ate, even at primary school. You know, you go up for seconds and you're allowed to get extras at the end if there's some. Like, I stopped doing that from like six, went to secondary school, and I was super slim, very slim. Now I look at the pictures, way too slim. And I think you go into secondary school and that's everything's about boys and maturing and being attractive all of a sudden. And suddenly, oh, my big bushy eyebrows might not be attractive. Should I get them done? And, mm-hmm. and weight is such a big thing, because people are so conscious of the bigger girls in the year. Oh no, she's fat. And it's like, oh my gosh, like what? Okay, so guys don't like fat girls. So I can't be that. So I need to be super active. And I was doing... me and my best friend at the time, we would walk everywhere. And this is crazy, because this is at we must have been like 13, 14, so conscious of what we have to look like and how slim we have to look like, and get your belly button pierced, because if your stomach's really like tiny, you'll look really cute and pretty. And I just went through it. So I was very, very slim until I got pregnant with my daughter when I was very young, 18. And during the pregnancy, I was very slim. People didn't even know I was pregnant. No one really knew I was pregnant. Had my daughter, and that was it. I put on so much weight after I had her, and I was in this different realm. Like, I didn't recognize myself, and I was with a partner that wasn't supportive, and he was very about looks and an image. And I also had postnatal depression, so everything wrapped up in one. And we had moved out to Orpington, and all my family and friends are from like Croydon, Streatham, that kind of area. Mm-hmm. So I was away from family and friends. I was dealing with postnatal depression. I was only 19, and now my body is something that I just don't know. I don't know what's going
on. Gosh.
Didn't know how to dress. I remember it came to, I went out with his sister, and I had bought this really, to be fair, it was awful. It was oversized. I think it was from Evans, because you can only get big stuff from Evans and Dorothy Perkins for the longest time.
They were like the
shops. The only place.
So Top Shop is out. Dorothy Perkins is in.
And I just looked awful, and I came downstairs, and he literally just laughed at me, like, both ways. There was no comfort. And then my comfort would be to eat. So I just, I got bigger and bigger, which wasn't okay with him. So then I was like, oh, what about Slim Fast and the Cambridge diet and all of these? Let me try them. And I remember for the Cambridge diet, you know, you have to go and pick up the things from, like, I don't even know what they are, like
a coach.
Your coaches.
Yeah, they're like consultant things. Oh, the
consultants,
they? Awful diet.
I went to their house to get the stuff. They're like slim and muscular and really skinny, and this is how you'll look. And they were like, yeah, and if you get this and you get this shake and you did it. And I was like, but I didn't know what to get. But I was like, you know, this is all gonna make me skinny, so I'll just get everything.
Yeah.
So about 80 pounds on stuff, I think. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, can we take a before picture? And the before picture threw me for a loop. Everything that was going on, it was just the before picture that just really pushed me over the edge. I was like, okay, I probably looked disheveled. And they just didn't care. They wasn't getting how I felt. I said, could I not? And they were like, no, but this is how we have to show your progress. Got home. I remember I started the shakes. And I was just crying. I think it was like 3 days of tears.
Yeah.
3 days of tears. And it was just awful. And I was like, so anyway, I say all this to say that this all went on for so long. I grew up in a family where my grandma would constantly be going at me. Oh, you look big. You look fat. And it's just, I don't think she means to be that way. It's just how culturally that's how we kind of grew up. Mm-hmm. They were very vocal first glances. So.
Yeah. It was just the done thing to comment on each other's bodies.
Oh, you look big and your face is so round. And I was like, okay. So I had to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And then years later, when I wasn't with my daughter's dad anymore, I didn't know who I was physically. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was supposed to wear or what I was supposed to do or what fit me or what looked right. And it took a lot. And I think I got to a point only a few years ago where I was like, there's actually things that I really want to wear, and I'm not really sure why I'm not wearing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to wear different things for my friends anyway, because that whole, you could borrow my jeans and you could borrow this, but that was not applicable for me.
No.
I was completely out of that conversation.
Tams and I were talking about this.
We had this conversation off the back of me seeing your video.
That's
about
right.
That. We've had many conversations about your video and you and all the things, because it's brought up a lot of stuff that we were talking about.
You reminded me, Tams, and when we were talking about this in Bristol, you were like, oh my God, how many times when you were like younger, were you round at your friend's house and they were like, of course my jeans will fit you, try them on, go on, try them on. And you're just about? Like, or you, or a clothes swap party and you're just like, oh, like none of this is going to fit me. And it's even just like, you arrive at a friend's house and you forgot to bring your pajamas and they're like, oh, that's okay, I've got a pair that'll fit you. And you know, before they even go and get them, it's like, these are not going to fit me, because our body sizes are different and you're not. You're,
and I'm now seeing this happen.
Or not seeing it.
It happens to my daughter now. And she's 8, you know, because she, her friends are such different size to her, you know, for obvious reasons. Like, it's just, you know, and it's, yeah, she's going through sort of like a similar thing. If she stays over, she just cannot forget things, because there's just absolutely no way. My son's exactly the same. If anything happens to his trousers while he's at a friend's house, he hasn't borrowed them. There's no way. And he's 5, you know, it's not going to happen. But yeah, your video was brought that up. I'd love to know that, just quickly before we move, you know, go on to the next bit. I just wondered, when you were saying about your family, are your family like all typically dieters all the time then, or in different sizes, or like you were talking about them obviously being very focused on size of your body.
Yeah.
Are they focused on their own size, each other's size? Is it kind of,
so it's a weird one. All the men in my family are quite muscular. We're all tall. I'm 6'1". So not only was I bigger, wider,
you're tall,
taller,
yeah.
My feet are, I'm like a size 10, 10 and a half on a good day.
Yeah.
So we have really tall people in our family. Most people are slim, muscular, mainly the men. My mum, when I was younger, she was bigger, but her body fluctuates. So she was on my side, and sometimes she'd understand, but she loses weight really quickly. So then I'd just be like, oh, well, okay. You were there for a second, we're gonna slip out now. Slim kind of left me behind. But and then my grandma, she's always been like, I don't know, I think she's just been average, and she's kept up, she's very active. So she's able to comment
on
things. Bless her. And I know this is the thing, it's like, it wasn't out of like love or anything. I think that was her way of trying to get me to maybe think about getting slimmer. I think she thought it was coming from a good place. But I think you only know how it's received if you're the person that's getting it. So
I also find it so interesting that people feel the need to tell you your size when you're in the body. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you told me.
I would have never known. I really wouldn't have. It's really annoying.
It's wild.
I see so many TikToks about that as well, where people are like, oh my God, I'm so glad you told me, because, you know,
I had no idea. Yeah. So you were saying, Ebony, a couple of years ago, you kind of got to a point where you were like, actually, there's clothes I want to wear, there's things that I want to do. You know, this body ain't changing. This is where I am. Yeah.
I just wanted to dress better. I didn't want to just wear the oversized stuff or the box, the box items that just make you look terrible. I was like, no, I'd like to feel sexy. I'm sure it's allowed. I'm just going to do it and see how it goes. And I just, that's when I just started. It was like my risque items. This is so risky. I don't know if I can do it. And to be fair, it took me a while. I remember I wore this lace bodysuit under these jeans. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I don't know. And it took me, I had to strut in my house, past the mirrors. I had to see, okay, if I turn this angle, what do I look like? And then one day, I think it was like a birthday celebration, I was like, just go, just wear it. And it was funny, because I went out and everyone was like, oh my gosh, you look so nice. And I was like, oh my gosh, I look nice. I think
love it.
This is okay. Like, I feel really good. Like, I felt good wearing it. I was like, okay, I actually left the house. But I think it's just everyone actually confirming that. Not that you need that, but it was like, sometimes you still have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just felt like, oh my gosh, I look really cute. And then
we've talked before about like being in a bigger body and then feeling like invisible.
Yeah.
Like you're not getting the like kind of, you know, nobody really comments or like wants to like talk about your clothing and stuff like that. But actually, you know, when you're feeling good, actually, you know, people do. And it does feel nice. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think we quite often don't want to sort of feel like we want that external validation, but it's really nice. And I think so, many of the people we speak to and are in ourselves as well, we've talked about this, is that people would only ever comment on my body in a positive way when I lost weight, when I was thinnest, when I was at my most unhealthy. And that is really sad and really kind of, it is discouraging. It doesn't feel great. It does feel nice to be complimented. Of course it does. It's
human nature. And to bond over that stuff, right? Which is why you want to find your people so that you can really kind of, you know, find the joy in clothes and hair and makeup and food and all that fun stuff. I wanted to move on to a couple of other topics that I've heard you speak about on social media. Mm-hmm. And one of them is about dating in a bigger body. Dating and clubbing, actually, are the two things. So
that
expression
says it all.
Yeah. And I didn't. And thanks for sharing about what you were saying about your previous partner and not feeling supported in the body that you're in. And I wonder how that's really kind of affected you or informed like the kind of partner that you're looking for.
So after I broke up with my ex, well, we broke up before he sees them, he's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I was weird because I wasn't sure who was gonna like me at that point. I don't know how that sounds, but I really didn't. I wasn't sure who was gonna like me in that body. And it is so weird because in that phase, I was actually working at Nighttown London, Oxford Circus, the big one. Mm-hmm. And everyone around me was like slim and athletes and what's going on. But it was actually one of the best places I worked because the people there, you expect to be very judgmental, but they're very inclusive, even down to giving you your uniform. There were certain things that you would have to wear, but they started to broad the uniform. And then they started to say, if you don't want to wear this, find some things that make you comfortable. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's so weird. Because I just assumed they'd want, even when I applied, it was very much throw your CV and run kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm really happy to hear that, actually, because, you know, you look at some brands out there and you think, is your inclusivity just tick box? Is it just surface level? Are you just bringing out, you know, extended sizing just because that is, you know, what's expected of you?
Sizing, but it's not available.
Yeah, but the fact that what you're saying is like below the surface, actually the way that they treat their employees is actually, you know, really inclusive. That's good to hear.
Yeah,
I'm happy about that.
It was really nice. And I remember I actually met my next partner at Nike, and I remember I was like, oh my gosh, he's not gonna like me because he's athletic and he's just, I don't know, like, what do I do? So I silently stalked him for 6 months, like, oh my gosh. Then I found that he had a girlfriend and I was like, okay, so yeah, that's done. And then one time we were leaving work and his girlfriend had come to meet him after work, and I was like, wait, she's a big girl? What? Whoa. This blew my mind. I was like, what is going on? That's not who I thought he would like, especially so many of the girls at work were like swooning over him. And I was like, yeah, see, that's kind of... So like a few months later, I found out they broke up and I was like, what? This is my opening. But I don't think I would have... I wouldn't have spoken to him or said anything if I didn't see his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Because that kind of, that kind of made me feel more comfortable. And I know I did put out I know this might sound weird, like, but it's not, because I wasn't sure he was going to like me.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing someone that I was like, oh my gosh, he's so cute, I love him, oh my God. just seeing that he liked women that looked like me, I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. So it's like, it's a weird one, because I think there was this discussion on what is a fetish and what is general, genuinely liking someone. And after being able to speak to him, and he was just like, I just see women as how I see women. And I don't really think, oh, she's big, so yeah, I like, I haven't
only
big women, but I feel like if I'm attracted to you, I'm just attracted to you. And that's just, that's just how I feel. So I instantly, I was like, hi, nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do find that I get messages from guys, I'm single now, and I get messages from guys, and it's always either very sexual and very, can you do this, or can you wear this, and can you do that? And it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I don't know. And I don't want to be the first. I don't want to be the trial. Am I comfortable? Will I introduce her to my family? Will I take her around my friends? So
what's the motivation? Is it like person first, body second, or body first, person second? Or like what's the agenda? And it must be hard, especially online dating, right? To figure that out before you actually meet the person. I mean, I'm sure there's huge fucking red flags all over the place. But once you get past that, it's hard to know like what makes it fall into that realm of fetish, as you say. It's a world I don't know much about, so I'm curious.
The people on these dating apps, like, even I wouldn't even swipe. I'm not on dating apps anymore, because they're like awful. It's just not a good place. I don't know, it's just, I've tried so many times, because it's like, especially over lockdown, it's like, we're not seeing anyone, so this would be a good way to kind of mix and mingle and do these, like, and it's like, it's just awful. And sometimes on these profiles, even when guys are like, only want big girls, bones are for dogs, I don't like that either.
Because also it's just reducing women to their body size,
body first.
Like, not even having a conversation about, you know, what somebody's into, what they like, what they, you know, it's not about the person, is it, when they're talking like that? It's just, it's so gross, actually.
There's so much problems. Like, oh no, you know, I think it just trickles down as well, because then it's like, oh yeah, no, my man will never like her because, you know, she's fat. It's just building so much stuff that doesn't need to happen.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Mm-mm. No.
Similarly, I've heard you speak about people being judged as bodies first when it comes to the clubbing scene. Particularly in London. And I heard you speak recently on your social media about how you're the biggest woman in your friends group, right? And you rock up at a club and you're told no. And you've heard through other people that they're very discriminatory when it comes to body sizes and sort of upholding some thin ideal image that they hold for themselves and their club. Like, could you say more about that? That shocked me when I couldn't believe. I mean,
we know nothing about clubbing.
No,
right. For a start.
Enlighten us.
I couldn't believe that this was still, no, I could believe that it was still happening. I was just shocked that it was still happening.
Yes.
There was this video of this woman that tried to go clubbing, and they were like, yeah, come, we've got a table for you. Da, da, da. They went, and because she was there, they wouldn't let the group in. And I was like, oh. especially the clubs in London, it's always something. It's always something. But it's like, are we still doing this? Mm-hmm. Is that one girl gonna... It's almost like if they let plus size people into their clubs, mm-hmm. it will make the rest of the people big. I don't know. Yeah.
It's infectious.
Like, it's so annoying. And I felt so sorry for her because she was just like, you know, I spent the next day crying and... It's so many things. Oh, that
so horrible.
It like, okay, I'm the reason why this whole group couldn't get into a club.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm the problem.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. It's so annoying. And I've gone places with my friends and been ignored because I'm big or no one really, I just kind of fade into the distance or so many things like this have happened. And it's just like, when are people going to understand that it's okay that there's big people too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to affect anything. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got a different... No one is the same size. Literally, yeah. Yeah. No one is the yeah. same size.
Yeah. Even if
10 people fit in the same outfit, they're not the same size. It's just
yeah.
how parts of their body fit in it. It's so annoying. And it's like having to still deal with this and then have... promoters or clubs or bars or any of these things stop you from having a good time because of how you look.
Gatekeeping. And actually Tamsin and I were chatting about this as well earlier, and you made a really, really good point as to like this idea of gatekeeping to uphold this image in a club. It kind of speaks to this idea that women are there to kind of like, it's like they're selecting the kind of women that are there to like please the men that's yeah. there. It's so patriarchal. Yeah, do I have that right, Jonathan? Is that how you...
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It was like, it just popped into my head when we were talking about what we were, you know, going to cover today was like this whole idea about not letting people into clubs is that, you know, why else would they do that? If it wasn't just about, well, you know, this is the kind of women that we want to be able to offer to the men in the evening, like yeah. as if women go out just to be there for men. I mean, honestly, like, it blows my mind. Like, are men actually okay? Because I'm pretty sure they're not. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, you know, like,
stop.
It's men on the door. It's men in the club, you know, and it's yeah. all about what the men want. That's it's just and it's but it's not. It's not what they want. And it's also, oh, it just, there's just too many rabbit holes I could go down with that. But yeah, that was just what popped into my head this morning was, you know, why else would they do it?
Yeah. It's like, but this is the thing. It's the media which shows us what's the most attractive women in what time. So mm-hmm. now you have to have a BBL and, or you have to be really skinny, or you have to like, what's that thing that just is driving me nuts, that new body,
the heroin chic that they've been talking about. I know, honestly. Honestly, I'm seeing everybody just literally posting that going, no, we're
absolutely
not doing
it. It's so problematic.
Like, yeah, it's so dangerous, and just glorifying something like that. It's just. And also, I said to my husband, I said, "Do you know like what body type you're currently supposed to be fitting into?" And he just like laughed off six. I was just like, "Why do they not come out with like men should be like this? It's always like
women's
body type yeah. has to change. We and like just reducing us to a body. Yeah, again, that's what this all comes back to. It's reducing us to nothing, basically.
Yeah.
You have to go by the trends. Your body size shouldn't be a trend. I've seen so many people say that. So I'm not originally saying that.
Had to dig back into that. I couldn't help myself but dig back into that article. And I went into the I think it was the New York Post, was it New mm-hmm. what was it, ever it was. And I went back along 6 months ago. 6 months ago, they had an article saying curves are in, mm-hmm. ditch the like rules. I was like, 6 months? You gave us 6 months?
Six months.
Like, oh, heroin chic is back.
Yeah. It's just so problematic. They really need to stop doing these articles, and they don't understand that you're not affecting every woman.
Yeah. Yeah, not just big person. Women. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's when you say, oh, heroin chic is in, but you don't understand there could be women that have eating disorders and stuff like that where they may need to put on a little bit of weight or mm-hmm. something, and then they see these things and they're like, actually, yeah. no, this yeah. is what I should look like. This is who I should be. This is a bandit for me. But you don't understand what health problems they have or what they're trying to overcome and how influential these things can be. It's not, I feel like when they put these things out, they're like, oh yeah, this will probably make big girls understand what we like. But no, you're not just affecting.
No, no. That's right. We say that. We say this all the time in the podcast, like fat phobia affects everybody. It's yeah. most harmful for fat people, but it is actually harmful for yeah. everyone, right?
And you can any board. System of oppression affects everybody.
Yeah. You
know, absolutely. In a certain way. Like we talk about patriarchy as well. You know, yeah. it isn't actually benefiting men at all. You know? It's just the same with everything, isn't it? But yeah, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. It has been a pleasure, Ebony, to speak with you. And I'm so glad we came across you and your social media. And I am so happy that you are trying to build community around this kind of stuff, because often Tamsin and I are asked, you know, like, where can I hang out with people who kind of get this stuff that aren't in the market of you know, I mean, you could go to a slimming club and hang out with plus size people, but the conversation is going to be really different, right? Yeah. It's not going to be as joyous and affirming. So I'm glad that you're creating and holding that space for folks. And we're going to pop your details in the show notes. So hopefully anybody that's interested can join you in London or join you when you come up to Glasgow, because I'll certainly be there. Yay. I know. Thank you once again.
Yeah, and, thank you so much. Yeah. It's so lovely. Yeah, it's sorry lovely. About my COVID.
No, it's fine. I'm actually happy that myself. You did talk.
Yeah. I will acknowledge it. I'll die still speaking, I swear.
All right. Thanks, folks. Bye-bye.